Paul that kind of sum up the mystery. And even though we could talk about a couple things and make it a little bit longer, it has to end today because next week Christopher is going to start taking over the adult class. I don't know how many years in the last 34 years that I've been the adult Sunday school teacher, so it'll really be different. But he's going to teach the book of Romans, and he gets about a year and a half to do it, depending on... We want him to be involved in the youth, but the two youth that he generally has as Sunday school class, they don't mind sitting in the adult class, and I can give him the opportunity of teaching a book. And I say a year and a half because September is when the next class changes, but he has no one in Dan's class that's going to be moving up into his class. Unless someone new comes in, and so that's the potential of a whole nother year before he's going to have more students in his class where that we'll have to split the class back up again. So that it's going to be good for him, and it's good for us to go back over those things. Before we start our Sunday school class as well, a couple announcements. I just want everyone to know that today we're going to take my dad, check him out of the rehab center, and take him over to Lynette's house where we're going to all have Easter Sunday dinner together. And we found out this week that we're able to do that. And so I say that to you in case any of you thought you were going to drop by and visit him. He won't be there. And then the other thing is Sanja is going to do what she did on the first day that he was in there the first week. It was a little too soon. But he's going to join us by way of streaming video at the 11 o'clock hour. So she's going up there with the laptop, and they'll have that. They'll be with us that way. I think that's good enough for announcements. Worry about other announcements later. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, and I'll just remind you what we're pointing out concerning this final seventh mystery that Paul talks about when he refers to the mystery. It says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. And the mystery of God's will is not so much that Jesus Christ would be preeminent in the earth, but the mystery of God's will is that all things in heaven and earth are going to be centered in Jesus Christ. And it's in Paul's epistles and part of the process of revealing the revelation that was given to him that was a mystery is that the summation of it all is that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, because of the revelation of the mystery, all things are going to be summed up in Jesus Christ. He's going to be head over all things, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. And what we pointed out last week particularly and mentioned it weeks before is that God always had the agency of Israel, that Jesus Christ was going to be preeminent in the earth, but there was an absence in the Bible of how God was going to reconcile the heavens. But there was declaration in the Old Testament that the heavens aren't pure in God's sight. And we know that there was rebellion in heaven, and yet there was never been a revelation of how the heavens were going to be cleansed. We do have the indication in Revelation 12 that they're going to be cleansed in the sense of somebody, Satan and his angels are going to get cast out, but how God was going to reconcile those heavens wasn't made known until you come to the revelation of the mystery and God's purpose for the body of Christ. So that when we're talking about this, the part of that was a mystery of God's will concerns the body of Christ and the heavenly places. The first thing that we said is that God's purpose for Christ finds its fulfillment in the forming of the body of Christ. Now, in both cases, we read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 through 23, where Paul is talking about, particularly, he prays that you would understand the hope of our calling, and then God's power in verse 19, to usward who believe, and that God's power to us who believe centers in the fact of verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places far above all principalities, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but that which is to come. So God's power to us word has to do with the exaltation of Jesus Christ above all those principalities and powers. And then at verse 22 and 23 says, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The body of Christ is the fullness of God's purpose in Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ would fill all places with his glory. And we already talked about Israel's inheritance in the earth and our inheritance in the heavenly places, and that Jesus Christ is going to be glorified in us, in those places, both in Israel in the earth, in us in the heavens, and we become the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So that the body of Christ fills that fullness, and then the other part of that mystery of the Father's will is that is the reference to the revelation of the mystery to Paul involving our hope focused in on the heavenly places. And that passage in Ephesians 1:18 through 23 express both of those facts. So that's kind of like where we ended last time. We looked at some other things to do by comparison. But there's two things that I still want to, well, one I'm going to go over here, and then two things I want to make sure I get clear before the class ends. But concerning those heavenly places, look again with me in Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Just the number of times that's said over and over again. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So that when he talks about us, members of the body of Christ, our blessings are in Christ, but they're in those heavenly places in Christ. And that's why in verse 10, it talked about gathered together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. Our place is in that heaven. Ephesians chapter 2, it says in verse 5, it says, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that our place is in those heavenly places, and to sit together in heavenly places has to do with that reigning that where Jesus Christ is exalted far above all heavens. Ephesians chapter 3. Now we're going to come back to some other verses in a little bit, so just drop down to verse 10. When it talks about God's purpose for us, it says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. My point to you in reading that verse, you can see how that connects to the mystery of the Father's will. And it involves those beings in the heavenly places learning from us the manifold wisdom of God. Manifold, like on a car, you have a manifold, especially if you have a V8 or V6, a manifold on one side, a manifold on the other to exhaust. And manifold is the dividing of something. And the manifold wisdom of God is the various sides of God's wisdom. God had a wisdom where Jesus Christ is going to be preeminent in the world. But he had a mystery in his wisdom that involves the body of Christ through which Jesus Christ is going to be preeminent in the heavens. So it says in verse 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to his eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so this purpose goes back to the mind of God before the foundation of the world, that how Jesus Christ would be preeminent in all things. And the rebellion took place in heaven before it ever took place in earth. But now, by the body of Christ, the principalities in heavenly places know the manifold wisdom of God, that he had both thoughts in mind, that all the time God had a plan to reconcile both heaven and earth. In verse 15, when Paul finishes this doctrinal section of the book of Ephesians and bows for prayer, he says, well, look at verse 14 first. It says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. You see, Paul, he understands the mystery of God's will involves those heavens, and now the whole family in heaven and earth is centered in Christ, is named, takes on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the glory of Jesus Christ. Look at Ephesians 4. This is, I know a lot of people, and I think they misunderstand what it means to lead captivity captive. I think that actually has to do with the defeating of Satan for Jesus Christ to be exalted in the heavens. But my point is not so much to explain that passage as much as it is to see the expression of Jesus Christ's exaltation in these verses. Ephesians 4 and verse 8 says, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men." Now, Paul's going to explain what does it mean to be seated up on high or ascended up on high. Verse 9. "Now he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Now he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things." There's the mystery of the Father's will again, is that Jesus Christ is, his glory is to fill all places. And the way that he is going to be exalted in the heavenly places is by the church, the body of Christ. And he explains that when Jesus Christ ascended up on heaven, it expresses that he didn't just ascend up on heaven, sat at the far at the Father's right hand. He ascended up in the heavens far above all heavens. Someone called it the super heavens. But that it's talking about the high exaltation of Jesus Christ, not just above the earth, not just over mankind, but above all the heavens. And so that expression is made in that parenthesis there of Ephesians 4. And then in Ephesians 6, we always remind it, and we reminded ourselves when we talked about the mystery of iniquity and Satan's attack on us. We're reminded that in Ephesians 6, we're told to put on the, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That our battle is not like Israel's battle for earthly places. Our battle is with those in high places, spiritual wickedness in high places, because that's the place that God saved us to purify those places. They'll be cast out, will be exalted, and seated with Christ in those heavenly places for God's eternal purpose for us. Before we read those other verses that are in Colossians, here's one of the other points I want to make sure I made today in the close of this, is that when you study about the apostleship of the Apostle Paul, and he's the one that God used to go out and call out of Jew and Gentile alike, a people that he formed to be the body of Christ, that Paul's calling and commissioning is unique from the 12 in that his calling was a heavenly calling. And you're familiar, hopefully, that in Acts chapter 9, that Saul of Tarsus is on his way to Damascus, and all of a sudden he sees a light brighter than the sun, light of the sun, shine on him, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ who's calling the Apostle Paul to reveal to himself to Saul, and then call him to be Paul the Apostle of the Gentiles. Come over to Acts 26. My point is really just simply that Paul's calling to be an apostle is from heaven. It says in Acts 26, when he was called, he says, verse 16, it says, "But arise and stand upon thy feet." Here's what Jesus Christ said to him on that road to Damascus. "For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of those things in which thou hast seen, and those things in which I will appear unto thee." So Paul's going to get further revelation, and every time that revelation is going to be a heavenly revelation, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. So Paul's going to be sent to the Gentiles to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So Jesus Christ from heaven calls Saul of Tarsus and tells him that he's going to be sent to the Gentiles. And he's, you know, Paul eventually declared himself to be the apostle, one sent by Jesus Christ with a revelation. Jesus Christ is going to reveal more things to him. When he's done explaining this to King Agrippa, verse 19 says, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Heavenly. Paul's calling was from heaven to be an apostle to the Gentiles, the calling out and the forming of the body of Christ for the purpose of the heavenly places. And that's uniquely different because when Jesus Christ was on earth, he appointed 12 apostles from earth that he had for to minister to the nation of Israel. We've already studied how they're going to sit upon 12 thrones and judge the 12 tribes of Israel. I think I made that parallel already. I know that we looked at 1 Timothy, and I'm not going to do much but read this one. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Where this appearing that Paul's talking about is the appearing to him. It says in verse 9, Jesus Christ who hath saved us and called us, 1 Timothy 1, 9. Oh, on 2 Timothy, aren't I? 2 Timothy 1, 9. Automatically went there. Who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher. That appearing and bringing to light the gospel message is that appearing to the Apostle Paul and the revelation that he received for us Gentiles. Now, even concerning the revelation that he received for us Gentiles, you're probably familiar with the passage, but it's unique to how Jesus Christ spent 3 years teaching the 12 apostles when he was here on earth concerning Israel's calling and their hope of that kingdom that Jesus Christ is going to return and set up that kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. But when it come to our calling, Jesus Christ calls Paul from heaven, and then when he has revelation to give to the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, what a unique thing this was. Second Corinthians 12 and verse 1. Now, Paul's going to talk about himself in a third person because it's a spiritual part of him that's caught up into heaven, or at least you assume that. He doesn't know whether his body went with him or not. But he is talking about himself because of the statement he'll make afterwards. So, but in 2 Corinthians 12, 1, it says, It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. And now he's going to talk about how he came already to some vision and revelation of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise, and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. Now, he goes on to talk about, like in verse 7, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh. So, the one who's receiving revelation is Paul. And he receives a thorn in the flesh so that he's not exalted above measure. God kept him humble. But the point is he was caught up into the third heaven and received revelation from Jesus Christ concerning heavenly places. So instead of, like, on the 12 apostles, Jesus Christ comes down to earth, teaches the 12 apostles about the earthly kingdom. He calls Paul, Saul, from heaven, makes him Paul the apostle of Gentiles, has to do with the body of Christ in heavenly places, and so to give him revelation, Paul now, is caught up into the third heaven and receives abundance of revelations concerning the purpose of the body of Christ. And so you see the uniqueness of Paul's calling, that it's a heavenly calling concerning us. I think I did this, but it's only here in my notes that I have it written down. Just flip back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I think we did this, but it's just an interesting statement here when Paul talks about to the Corinthians who are carnal and aren't even judging things in their own life or in their own assembly of believers. He says to them in 1 Corinthians 6:1, "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things pertaining to this life?" Well, if he didn't write, "Know ye not ye shall judge angels," I wouldn't know we were going to judge angels. But we are going to judge angels. And, oh, I did share that with you, because when we looked last week about Matthew chapter 19, we talked about how the 12 apostles will sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Here, we're seated with Christ in heavenly places, and then he says here that we're going to judge angels, that God's calling for the body of Christ is those heavenly is heavenly places and a position in those heavenly places. That I didn't finish reading Ephesians 2:6. Verse 7 says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding greatness of his riches of his kindness in Christ. So that the phrase that follows after us being seated with Christ in heavenly places is that in the ages to come. We're there, and in the ages to come, we're still there. 2 Corinthians 5 talks about that we have a if this tabernacle were to be dissolved, speaking about our bodies, we have a building of God made without hands, eternal in the heavens. The body of Christ is eternally in the heavens. I know a lot of people that don't understand the purpose of the body of Christ have us returning to reign on earth for 1,000 years, and then somehow everybody ends up in heaven or whatever they go up with. But no, God's purpose for Israel is to reign with him 1,000 years on the earth. We're eternally in the heavens, because that's what God's purpose for the body of Christ is. And all of that, remember, is the mystery of the Father's will, is that it's all in the dispensation of the fullness of times, all things center in Christ. Come with me to Philippians. You know, I got tons of verses in Colossians, and I'm really going to have to skip those. Maybe I have to look one or two, but we've looked at them before. But it's, you know, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, we always look at that as those prison epistles, the capstone of the revelation of what the purpose of the body of Christ is. And yet Philippians doesn't say a whole lot about the heavenly places. Ephesians, Colossians does. But all of a sudden Paul throws this out in Ephesians chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3. He says, he's talking about, well, verse 17. He says, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things." So mark those that walk like Paul, but watch out for those who don't, who are minding earthly things. See, the purpose of the body of Christ isn't earthly. Look at the next verse. "For our conversation," our life, that our purpose in life that God's saved us for "our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies, that it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body." But watch the last part of the verse. "According to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself." Well, the final place that needs subdued unto him is those heavens. And God's purpose for the body of Christ is the heavenly places, because God's going to subdue all things unto Jesus Christ. That's the mystery of the Father's will. Come over to Colossians. We're going to skip chapter 1 and 2. But look over at Colossians chapter 3. The chapter 1 and 2 is all about what we just said. I know we've covered them before, so it would have been a somewhat of a repeat, although a reminder would have been good for you. But in Colossians chapter 3, Paul says in verse 1, If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. And even that phrase, if you're not sharp with the studying of Scripture, you would, when it says that you're to seek those things that are above, it tells you where you're supposed to seek the things that are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Well, where does Christ sit at the right hand of God? Well, remember that Ephesians 4? Far above all principalities and powers. There's an expression here, by the time you come to this passage in Colossians, that you understand that Jesus Christ is exalted far above all heavens, and that you're to seek those things that are above, where Christ is sitting at the Father's right hand, that far above all position there, because that's your calling is those heavenly places. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with him in glory. He's coming, rapturing us out, and we're going to appear with him in glory. You know, you study that, you are going to be glorified, and it's going to be his glory that you're going to manifest, but you're going to manifest his glory in the glories of heaven. And that's what that's why it keeps talking about the heaven here, is because that's where our place is as members of the body of Christ, and why you're not to be so concerned about the things of the earth and all caught up on the earth, is that our calling, our conversation, our life, the life that's hid, that's going to appear when Jesus Christ appears, is a heavenly calling and a heavenly life and a heavenly glory of manifesting Jesus Christ in the heavens. Look over in it is 15. Verse 14 says, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And I know we expressed that last time too, but Paul just, remember who you are, and be thankful for who you are. You're a member of the body of Christ, and your purpose, your life is hid with Christ in God. Your whole life, your whole conversation is centered in Christ in those heavenly places, and be thankful about that. Look at Paul's dying words in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Before he signs off his last epistle, he says in verse 16, at my first answer, no man stood with me. That's in the Roman courts. But all men forsook me. I pray God it shall not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Certainly an expression of Satan who in his mouth had Paul arrested, trying to silence the Apostle Paul, but he failed. He was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. He fulfilled his ministry. He said earlier, I finished my course. Verse 18 says, here it is, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. There's our heavenly calling. And Paul's final words as he signs off this book is looking forward to that heavenly calling, the heavenly kingdom that we, the members of the body of Christ, are part of, which is the fullness of Christ, which is the mystery of the Father's will, that he could gather together both all things in heaven and in earth, even in his Son. Now, there's a second thing I want to point out to you before we close. Go back to Ephesians chapter 1. Maybe I'll teach it backwards. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. Because once you understand what we just taught about the mystery of the Father's will, this truth becomes more obvious to you. Paul, hopefully you're familiar in verses 1 through 5 there, talk about the revelation of the mystery that was given to him for us, members of the body of Christ, us Gentiles. He calls it, he says in verse 6, he says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. There's a sharing going on in that verse. I believe like the same body would be Jew and Gentile together in one body. But God has a purpose that's going to sum up both heaven and earth in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're part of that heavenly purpose that brings that God's plan and his purpose for his son to its fullness, so that when he's talking about this oneness, just keep reading. Verse 7 says, "Whereof I am made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." Well, the fellowship of the mystery is today the oneness that exists in the body of Christ. But the mystery of the Father's will is that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, all things might be gathered in his Son. There's going to be an eternal fellowship in the dispensation of the fullness of time. And when he says, make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, the fellowship of the mystery is the conclusion of how God's going to sum up everything in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth. Look back at chapter 2. After Paul talks about the body of Christ, God's purpose for us and all, he says in verse 19, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." So there's the saints of the nation of Israel, but we've become fellow citizens with them. The kingdom of God, by the way, is heaven and earth. Our place heaven, their place in earth, but there's a fellowship here, isn't there? There's a uniting. We became fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Now, by the way, the order of that tells you that you're built upon apostles to the body of Christ, then prophets. Israel had prophets, then apostles. You're not built on their foundation. You're built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, of whom all the building, what do you mean all the building? All the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple of the Lord, in whom ye also are builded. Well, there was a building of God before us, the nation of Israel. My mind, just to tell you where my head's at, every time I read that verse, I think of a two-story building and how the second story has to be built perfectly, otherwise the whole thing's going to fall apart. But a two-story building in the sense, ye also are builded together. There's the nation of Israel on the earth, us, the body of Christ in the heavenly places, built together in Christ, the foundation of everything, and that in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. There is that dispensation of the fullness of time, all things gathered together in Christ. And you can see the fellowship that we have in God's eternal purpose in these verses as well, which then takes us to our concluding verse where we started. That's Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 9 and 10. And I say this, the last part here is for you to be clued into what the fellowship of the mystery. It's all going to come together in the future. So God says in verse 9, "Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him." And so the seventh mystery just brings us into the dispensation of the fullness of time and God's summation of all that he has created, centering in the Lord Jesus Christ, all rebellion put down and put away, and Jesus Christ being preeminent in all things. It took the mystery and those seven aspects of the mystery to bring God's purpose to its conclusion. I'm not sure if someone's here to ring the bell or not, but I know it's time to quit, so let's pray and enjoy some donuts and coffee. Our God and our Father, we do thank you for our gathering, and we do thank you for the series of studies. We pray concerning Christopher and his teaching of the book of Romans. We know it'll be a blessing to us and certainly be a growth and a blessing to him, and we look forward to that time, work in his mind and heart to bring us into these truths that you have for us as members of the body of Christ. In Christ the Savior's name we pray. Amen.